To We Used to Be Cool, a podcast for moms. We hope you'll join us each week as we pause the craziness to remember that we're not alone and that being a mom is actually really cool. Hey everybody, welcome back to We Used to Be Cool. We are here tonight and I'm going to try not to laugh through this entire thing because it's a well-known fact that when I get around Judd, I can't stop laughing. We are here tonight, and neither can Ethan apparently.
Oops, with I'm literally just sitting here.
Two husbands, Judd and Ethan, to just kind of mix it up. And last week we had our dad here, and so many of you said how much you liked having a dad's perspective and liked being able to share it with your husband too. So we hope this will be another episode for that, where you can kind of listen to it together maybe, and we can kind of just talk through things that, like Hannah and I normally do, things that have come up in parenting lately for us, things we're learning, but also just kind of ask these two about their experiences so far as dads. Judd's been a dad since Fletcher was born, so almost 4 years ago. And Ethan is he's been a dad for 5 years. So they've got some experience.
Just a few years. The way you were saying that, I thought you were going to say Judd's been a dad since as long as I can remember.
His jokes have been dad friendly since then, for sure.
He's been a dog. You always laugh at him.
All right, so we'll just start. Hannah, do you have anything to add to that before we start?
Nope. Not at all.
Okay.
Hannah's taking an off night.
Judd, which one's the cricket noise?
Bottom right.
So we are going to just jump in. What I did earlier, if y'all saw it on Instagram, was I asked our listeners to contribute some questions if they had any for dads, for you two specifically. So we'll just start there and see what happens. Okay. Are y'all ready?
Perfect.
Nervous.
Ethan, do you want to say anything? Judd, y'all want to introduce yourselves, say anything specific about your life or anything?
My name's Judd. I'm Hannah's husband, Ethan's brother-in-law, and Zan's brother-in-law. And no, I'm excited. I'm excited to be on here and chat about the most recent favorite part of my life, being a parent.
It's pretty great.
It is Ethan? Awesome.
I'm Ethan. I'm Zan's husband. And yeah, I'm excited. I studied up. I listened to the last episode, and I've been slacking this season a little bit. I was really good with season one, but yeah, you probably hear me every week.
Season one was good.
Season one was great. Season two is really good too. I was in the intro song.
Oh, so we I'm actually
on the every episode. Technically.
He is the voice that says, "We used to be cool." Say it now.
I can't do it. It's a bunch of effects. It's not really me.
Okay. So we should plug that. Ethan is our producer. He does all of our editing, and he is the person that says we used to be cool. And Judd has provided all of our space here.
I'm the sound guy.
He's the sound guy. He's provided our soundboard, our mics, and they're also the two that watch our kids so that we can do this. Tonight, Judd pointed out it's our first episode that we're actually financially invested in because we had to pay a babysitter so that Ethan and I could come over here at the same time. So hopefully this will be a good one. Uh-oh.
Cut.
No, it's okay. Thanks.
The little feedback
Judd was
there.
Here.
Woo. Sound guy.
Okay. So I'm going to ask y'all a question, and we'll just go back and forth, let y'all both answer it, okay?
I like it.
All right. Judd, first, what's something about you personally that has changed since you became a dad? Obviously, a lot has, but is there something that you really can pinpoint?
I'm going to try really hard not to make a joke at first about all these questions because it's just what happens when when we hang out. But I think when you first get married, you quickly realize how selfish you are, like in little things and that was a big thing in Hannah and I's relationship at first was like my selfishness definitely with my time and what I wanted to do. And I remember we got in a big argument one time because I wanted to go to Utah to go fly fishing. And I was like, I still want to go on trips whenever I want to go on trips. and very quickly realized that I was not only in the wrong, but that's not what I wanted to do. And then so you're like, all right, I've kind of gotten the selfishness thing under control. and then you have kids and you realize how much more selfish you are. I think just realizing too how quick time goes by. And so like, I don't even know if I'm answering the question, but
you are. Well, I think let me just say what Judson's trying to say. No, I'm just kidding.
She can read my mind.
I know what you mean.
But I thought you were going to, like, you're way less selfish now that you are a parent because you've realized how much you want to be with what you're in.
You can whittle away at the selfishness, but you realize again how much, you know, life is so much better when you don't focus around yourself and when you're spending it with your kids and your family. And you trick yourself into thinking like, oh, I want to do this for me, or I want to, you know, finish some work on my phone or do something here. But really it's like uninterrupted like time with your kids that's not focused around what you want to do is really the most special time, maybe.
For sure. And like you said, it goes by so fast. So we've talked about this on a few episodes recently. It's like you do have to give up some of those things that you want to do, but it's just a season, and there's going to be a time coming where we have free time that we wish we had something to fill it with, and we wish we had kids running around. And so I think just reminding yourself of that too, that it's just a season.
So me and Hannah were talking tonight about like how at the end of the day, you can look back on your parenting choices that day and like, it bums you out. Like when you make a mistake or whatnot, cause you have you only have so many chances to be a parent, so much time. And so it's overwhelming when you take time to think about it, but it's a good thing. I mean, if you're sitting there reflecting on how you parented, the decisions you made, it means that you're trying to do it the right way, and that's really all we can do.
It means you care. Like that means you're a good parent to me. If you're worried about a decision that you made or something, it means that it matters to you, and that parenting matters to you, and that your kids matter to you. So I think that's a good thing. But I totally get that, like, all of a sudden feeling. Even sometimes for me, it's not the end of the day. It's like immediate. I'm like, why did I just do that? Why did I just say that? I didn't mean that. You know, or like, it doesn't even take me till the end of the day to realize that I made a mistake or wish I had done something differently. Okay, those were great answers, Judd. You nailed it.
Thanks.
Ethan, no pressure, but just kidding.
That was a really good answer. I got to try
following that up.
Same question. What's something about you that has changed since becoming a dad?
I thought about two very different things, but one of them is kind of funny because I don't think I ever really worried about stuff until we had kids. But the funny thing is, I think I also heard that was a Jack Black quote that he said that when he never worried about anything until he had his first child. But I definitely... I just don't remember being, like, stressed, like, really stressed or ever worried about anything until Murphy was born. And then it would be, like, a little thing that I'd find myself getting worried about. But, like, not in a bad way, but just out of concern.
Like, someone's life like depends on you.
Or, like, finances or, like, all of it.
It's, like, a little bit of everything. Just, like...
Everything's bigger at that point.
Yeah, it's almost like I grew up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you were really not, we were all young, but like you were
the youngest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it just forced me to just grow up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of in the same realm, I think one thing that I didn't really, I don't know, I kind of had like a one track mind and like, this isn't even specifically parenting related, but even like career wise, like, in our marriage, it was like, I like everything felt like good and like content. But then like Murphy was born and I was like, okay, I need to like find a better job. It's time to like level up, like all this stuff. And I don't know. It's not, you know, bad stuff, but that stuff causes stress too. Cause then you kind of put more pressure on yourself. But I think that's probably one thing that didn't happen until Murphy was born.
Where you're like, I'm the leader of this family and everything's riding on me. Like,
right.
It's all on me.
And so then how'd you feel when I quit my job? Just
kidding. Well,
now, just kidding. I'm kidding.
Now it's a breeze. No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, I think that's a good answer. Like it's that pressure, the pressure changes like when other people depend on you and you're not just living for yourself. Kind of the same, literally, that's similar answers really. That selfishness of like, You weren't being selfish, but like you only had to think about yourself. And then all of a sudden you have to think about other people who depend on you.
One thing that I just thought about with that too, and this is something that I think Hannah heard in a podcast and brought up, but I do think about it. I don't think we've talked about it in a little while, but I think about it with my decisions a lot with the kids or just how I handle like a question or a situation. And I think it was Andy Stanley's book about parenting that was all about having like a goal in mind that you're parenting towards. And so like I always try to think about like what do I want my parenting to teach him over and over again just through how I handle situations. And that kind of helps me make those decisions or at least rethink about the decisions at the end of the day of like when I take the time to do that of like, did I make the right decision there or should I have changed that? And talking about that too with your spouse, I feel like is so important as well.
Yeah, that's good.
They say they model their behavior after their parents. Mm-hmm. Like that's the person they're going to model after the most is us. So that's, I feel like a lot of pressure and also like kind of cool though that we can influence them in that way, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, it's in when you see it in a negative way, like when you hear, this is a silly example. If you hear a kid cuss or you hear a kid say something mean to someone else, it's like, oh, they are hearing that. Obviously they didn't just pull that out of nowhere. So just in the same way, flipping that and like when you see a kid being really sweet or being really helpful or being really kind, it's like, wow, they must really be getting that modeled to them. Yeah, that's good.
I think the things that I really like to try to remember there are like that, and I feel like I can be better at all these always, but like that like loving Jesus is the most important and then loving the outdoors and loving others no matter if they're like you or not. Like Fletcher will ask questions or say stuff. I'm not even going to get into it, but just little things to where it's like all of their questions are chances to be able to parent them well.
They've got questions, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Especially Murphy.
I was about to bring, never mind. Okay. I was going to bring something up that Murphy did, but maybe we shouldn't talk about it.
I don't know what it is.
Just when he said the thing in Clinton, it was just kind of funny and just a teachable moment, but it's not.
He said
it's not really a question.
He said the word stupid and we had to kind of deal with that, but stupid to us sounded, when it comes to and then it makes you realize like, oh gosh, I actually say stupid a lot. And not towards my kids, obviously, but like to Ethan or like, oh my gosh, that's so stupid. Like something when just I really mean the word
just a casual
silly or crazy. Goofy. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? I'm not calling someone stupid or I don't know. But Murphy said it the other day just to test it out. He literally told Ethan, I just wanted to see what it would feel like to say that.
He literally said, I didn't know what would happen when I said it.
That's so sweet.
The funny part was he looked me in the face. We were at our friend's house and
did he say it correctly or
no,
was it just
he literally
word?
Just said stupid.
He just came up
and
looked at me in the eye, stupid. And I was like, what did you say? And then he said stupid again. And I was like, Ethan, I literally didn't know what to do. I was like, Ethan, Murphy needs to talk to you in the bathroom. I didn't know what to do.
I think you're doing something right though if your kid's coming and saying that to you.
To test it out.
To see and to see if it's okay, you know what I mean? Right. That's a good thing.
But it was also funny because I was like, Murphy said a bad word. I was like, I was Moses or something. And then he took
tattling
him,
on him.
He took him because I didn't want to deal with it. He took him to the bathroom and then his brother, Ethan's brother was with us. Ethan's brother's like, what did he say? And I was like, he said stupid. He's like, oh my gosh, the way he reacted, I thought he must have said something terrible. I'm like, well, that is terrible from a five-year-old, but it was funny. Anyways, yes.
Josh will learn. He'll learn.
He always says wanted a shout-out, so shout-out Josh.
This is it, Josh. I'm
He'll never
here.
Hear this, but okay. All right, second question.
We're only on the second.
We've only got 42 left. Just kidding. Okay.
Josh is also single if there's any.
Stop. There's stop.
Female listeners looking.
What's something you love about being a dad that you didn't anticipate before your first child was born? So does that make sense? Like something that
read it one more time.
Something you love about being a dad that maybe you didn't expect. It wasn't like, I can't wait to be a dad because I'm going to get to do this. But now that you're a dad, you're like, wow, this is a really cool part of it.
Could you use that in a sentence?
Ethan, you go first on this one.
All right. One thing that I really love is honestly just playing and having fun and just being a kid again, because I feel like I was a kid not that long ago. So it's honestly just fun just to play and just at Goofy and wrestle, just, I don't know, little zip things line. Like, yeah, I was about to say, we just built a zip line. I probably ride it. I ride it more than Murphy does. I've probably ridden it twice as much as he does. Right after we built it that same night, I think I rode it like 5 times after they were asleep on the couch.
And I was like, you're going to break it.
Ouch.
No, that's
and
a good example.
I break it and I'll fix it back up.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer for you because you're really good at that too. Like playing with them, like come and you think of things that like, I don't know. I was thinking you get to like share things with them that you used to like to do when you were a kid. Like, let me teach y'all about this. Let me show y'all this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's, I guess that's not really playing. It's kind of like just trying to teach them things, even if it's like things that I'm not like great at, but even like just projects, like learning, teaching them how to use like a drill or hammer or just tools. I don't know. They think it's fun and I'm really doing it. They're just kind of pressing the trigger, but I don't know, little things like that. Like I want them to eventually actually know how to do things. So
yeah. And remember that their dad taught them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that. That's a great answer.
Love it.
All right, Judd, what's something you love about being a dad that you maybe didn't anticipate?
I mean, it's so hard to think of an answer besides Ethan's, but to be a little different in that, I guess, would be, not different, but just to elaborate on his answer, that would have been my exact answer. But I just love, like, finding things that they get really excited about and are passionate about and, like, want to get better at or learn more about, like, and the real thing, a real big one, too, is, like, almost like a free pass to do some things that I probably shouldn't do as an adult, like sneak into a neighborhood behind our house and set minnow traps and throw cast nets with them and catch minnows and stuff, like explore and do little fun stuff that they love and I love. And just to see them want to be outside and explore and is super cool. And Fletcher, I get even more into what they're getting into than they do, which is not good probably. But
well, you got us all hooked on e-bikes.
I know. I burned my 2.5-year-old or 3-year, how old is he? 3.5-year-old.
6.
Out on dirt bikes. We were all into dirt bikes and now he loves fishing, which is what I love to do and do for a living. But I just to spend time doing what they love and the fact that, you know, you can find some similar interest even at such a young age is so much fun to share with them.
Isn't that funny too? There's maybe a part in the parenting book, I'm not sure where we read this, where it's like when your kids, like you want them to be into what you're into, but you don't want to force them into that.
Right.
Like you don't, do you remember what I'm talking about? Like you don't want them to like, for example, Ethan, like he doesn't, we don't want a Murphy doing guitar lessons at 2 years old and his fingers bleeding, like forcing him to make this his talent.
Become a prodigy.
Or like Judd making Fletcher go fishing every time he goes fishing. You need to love fishing. But like, it's funny because like, okay, Fletcher wants to do this e-bike thing, so I'm going to do this with him. And now all of a sudden Fletcher's like kind of over and wants to do what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like it's like you didn't have to force him on that. He naturally gravitated towards, that's what my dad likes and I want to do that too.
Yeah.
And I just think that's really sweet. Like that's, that, I think that was
I
in
have
one
a
of the
good
books.
Example of this,
okay, go ahead.
I think when I was pregnant with Fletcher, Judson took this client fishing, and his little boy, and the little boy liked
this
fishing.
Maybe is what it is.
But he also loved baking, and his dad was like, "I've
that's
obviously
Lenny Moore.
Never
shout out Lenny Moore.
Never cared about baking, but I just want to do what he wants to do, and so like we bake together, and we fish together too. Like because he likes
his,
fishing.
His son was his, the best was, like, fishing." Kid that I've ever had the fish. He was
but
like
his
eight
passion
incredible.
Is baking. Like and so his dad
he had
was
a baking
like,
business.
Now our whole family's into baking and I love it. And I would have never thought before I became a dad that that would be something that I'm like, oh yeah, sure, I'm going to bake with my son and get really involved. Uh-huh. And like,
that's
it's
cute.
Really cool. Yeah. How you can.
I love that. I feel like our dad was good at that too. Like with Austin and his things that most boys wouldn't have been into. But dad was like,
dad like took him to the Hillary Duff concert.
Yeah. Or like, oh, you want the new Beyonce album? I'm going to buy it for you and surprise you with it. Like,
that's awesome.
Stuff like that. Like, you know,
it's super sweet.
Uh huh. My dad.
Just loving your kids well and where they need to be.
Yeah. Right. And not trying to make them be somebody they're not.
Right. I think that's the downfall of the dirt bikes for us. he knew I was not a dirt bike dad and saw the smoke and mirrors. He's like, I'm doing this for my dad. We're getting out of this.
Okay. That also, it hit me where I heard the thing about you want them to be into what you're into or whatever. But it was as somebody on your podcast, which we it maybe was the kayak guy. And he said something about, like, I didn't even like fishing. My wife used to take my son. I wasn't into it at all.
Yeah, the kayak guy from Virginia Beach.
Then I started fishing with my son because he wanted me to, and now he's a fishing guide. His son influenced him to something like that.
That's so cool.
That's another cool one. Okay, anyways, those were great answers, guys.
Thank you.
And great parts about parenting for sure. I love to use my kids as an excuse to do things that I really want to do, like go get icy at Sam's. Yeah. They really wanted an icy at Sam's.
Shout out Orange Creamsicle Frosties at Wendy's today.
Okay, so the next question is kind of similar, except on the opposite end. And we don't have to talk to this one if I don't want to, but, and maybe we've already touched on it, but something that's been really hard for you about being a dad that maybe you didn't anticipate, being a dad or a husband or the leader of your family, any of those categories, something that's just been more difficult than you expected, maybe.
Am I first? Am I going?
Either way.
Yeah, you're good.
If one of y'all has an answer, go for it.
I think with kids, it's just consequences and showing them wrong from right. And that kind of goes back to the stupid thing, but like that wasn't that crazy, but something like hitting or like, right, I don't know, right now, like Murphy and Moses, they're 2 years apart, but Murphy's just turned 5, Moses about to be 3, and they're like getting more aggressive, and not like in a like crazy way, but they're just boys, like it's normal, but they're definitely getting to the point where like they could actually hurt each other if they were too aggressive. So it's like now we need to like just make sure that like when we see something that they know that they did something wrong and they know, like, I think we've done a really good job so far, but there's just little moments, like they just get frustrated sometimes, long day at school, they may argue. Yeah, it's just, I mean, that's just kids. It's all kids. But I think it's just always a challenge just to just do any kind of consequence or you know.
And just to know what the right thing to do is in that situation. What are we supposed to do as a consequence right now?
Well, I don't even remember, like, some of the things. I'm going back to that parenting book. I think we need to read it again because I just forgot some of the stuff that Andy Stanley talks about. But I remember some of the stuff in the book was like, we don't need to worry about this yet. But now I'm like, I need to revisit like some of those, you know, situational options he had. Like, I don't even remember what they were, but like,
you should listen back to some of the episodes. We talk about his book every single week.
I was about to ask if y'all have talked about it on here before.
We bring it up every week, and now y'all both
need to change the name of the podcast.
Must have been
a deep dive into Andy Stanley's parenting
book. Andy Stanley fan club.
Exactly. You're talking about season 2, right?
Yeah,
of your podcast, you've been referencing it. I know just season hush. 1.
No, you don't. But yeah, I think that's a good answer. That like just the knowing what to do, like Hannah said, like what are the right consequences for certain actions.
And boys are
so rough,
and siblings are just always. That's what Judson actually. We were talking about that tonight before this podcast about Fletcher and Hank, like, what is the consequence going to be? Because they're starting to get rough with each other. Like, Hank's new thing is, like, when he pulls Fletcher's hair immediately. You know, like, that's
so
his first
thing. So many times
thing.
Today.
Yeah, it's, like, his first reaction. And I'm like, siblings are always going to fight. So we've got to figure out what we're going to do for as the consequence for hurting each other.
Right, because I remember Jane saying, like, that is one thing. Or I think it was her mom was, like, the siblings in this house are not going to fight. So, like, that's going to be our most serious. Like, we're nipping this in the bud no matter what. Not just physically, but yelling at each other, fighting.
Yeah. And I feel like arguing. I was thinking Jane was talking more about, like, arguing and being ugly to each other.
Right.
Than us 2, 3, 4-year-olds.
No, totally. But she was just like
more middle school.
We want to focus on those relationships so much that we want to make sure whenever there is some sibling disagreements or rivalry or fighting or whatever that we're nipping in the bud quick.
Yes.
And that's something that I've seen pay off incredibly well with their family. They got five kids. I mean, there's a great chance for with five siblings that someone's not going to like someone when they're an adult, but they're all such best friends. And that's really cool because I think they taught them how to resolve conflict so well when they're young.
That's good. That's and at so this good. Age, it's so hard to teach.
I think one thing though that Zan and Hannah, y'all do so well, and I feel like you've taught me and Ethan to do well, probably from Andy Stanley's book, I don't know, but is like calm consequences, like not as a parent, not like jumping or snapping really quick because they do something wrong, but like, you know what, Fletcher, that was wrong. Let's go sit on the blue chair and talk about this, and you know, you're going to have a consequence for that. Like, and that's something for me, being someone who's like, you know, can kind of get angry quickly or just to get frustrated quickly, to be able to like jump into some type of consequence real quick. It's good for me to like pump the brakes and be like, all right, you know what? Let's think about this. Let's talk about it. I don't know. Hannah's helped me with that a ton.
Even the blue chair is a good idea because that gives you a chance to think about what you even want to say or what your consequence is. Like, just go to the blue chair. So that gives you a minute, him a minute. You know what I mean? I think that's great. I see y'all do that a lot.
If y'all don't have a blue chair at your house, you should get one.
Ethan and I were talking about this on the way here too, just speaking about like getting angry or getting frustrated and like wanting to just react. And I think one thing that we both get in those states, of course, I probably more than Ethan, but I think the one helpful thing that I think y'all are good at and we're good at is like not letting it happen at the same time. But like, I feel like sometimes if he's frustrated, I'm usually like able to remain calmer. If I'm frustrated, he's able to see that he needs to be the calm one and like kind of letting that ping ponging that back and forth a little bit. Like, I need a minute, you take over kind of situation. I feel like that's a helpful little tool too, if you can kind of pass it. Like, okay, I shouldn't be the one that handles this right now.
Yeah, kind of thing. For sure. That's awesome.
It's one of those things. It's like, as long as we kind of like keep a good gauge, like throughout the day on like how we're feeling, then by the end of the day, we kind of know where we are.
Yeah.
And I think like, if you know that my day hasn't been good, or I know like yours hasn't been so good, then by the end we can kind of tag team and say like, all right, now let's maybe I don't
go
know.
Ahead, like, give a melatonin at 5:30.
3:30.
No, but yeah, that's good too. Like keep a gauge on how the other's day is going, talk it out throughout the day. That's good.
Yeah. Just help each other out a little bit.
All right. So that was kind of all Ethan's answer, but all of ours, I guess, about it being tough to just like discipline and have good consequences and know what to do when they're being mean to each other. But Judd, do you have a different hardest thing about parenting or hardest thing about being a dad or the leader of your family?
I didn't even think this was going to be my answer, but when you asked it again, like this popped up in my head. I'm not even going to share that actually. No, I think that was pretty good. I think that was a pretty good answer.
Do a joke, save it.
No, it wasn't a joke.
Okay. You don't have to.
It's too good. The world's not ready for it.
Is there more to that question? I felt like there was more that I'd skip. Okay.
No, I think you're good. Okay. So where do y'all want to go next?
Probably Costa Rica.
Okay, nice. Here's a good one. Similar, I think, to where we're already at. Looking back, this was from another listener. Is there a time that something that was affecting you personally impacted your parenting? Or maybe you say, no, I never let it. And if that's the case, how? But is that a question that you can answer? Or like a time where maybe, for example, like Ethan with work, or if you're having, you feel like a bad work day, how do you not kind of let that roll over into your relationship with Murphy and Moses and Sonny? Or like, you're still really good at like,
yeah, that
I feel like both of you guys are really good at still like showing up and playing and participating and doing what you need to do, even when you're having one of those days or when something's going on.
That's something I've had to be better at, like as of recently, because like, I mean, starting in December, you know, I was working for myself. So before, I feel like I've had it easy working for bigger companies, and I don't know, being able to compartmentalize is so much easier when you're not doing it for yourself. But I've realized, I kind of learned from Judd and Hannah, actually, like, once you're working for yourself, like, there's ways to, I don't know, like, it's hard to, like, not be on your phone looking at emails or whatever and just trying to just, you know, keep the wheels on the bus, I guess. I don't know. That's a weird phrase, but.
Very dad-ish, wheels on the bus.
Someone's been watching Miss Rachel.
Love that girl.
But I try to like compartmentalize a little bit. But I'm also learning to just try to let things go and not like dwell on certain things. Like specifically when I send a proposal and it just doesn't work out, like someone doesn't want to specifically work with me, that would have ruined my day in January. But now in April, I just kind of shrug it off. I'm like, and you know, God will provide another one next week. But
right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, and some days you forget that and it's stressful, and then you have to just remind yourself and just chill out a little bit. But just never take it out on the kids.
Well, not even take it out on them, but just like struggle to like not have that as your, like, struggle to like put it in the back of your mind so that you can play, so that you can interact, so that you can let them enjoy their 2 hours with you before bedtime. Like,
as I feel like, as long as we're, this sounds weird, but like as long as we're outside, that I can like kind of like forget about it. But if it's like we're stuck inside and it's like after six or something already, then it's hard to kind of get out of that mindset, because it's like later in the day you're trying to get ready for bed. But if we're outside, we could play, we can do something totally different, and then just do something like, I don't know, ride bikes around, just something like where we can be active and just playing, and just like something that just takes you totally out of that headspace, then I think that's a better place to be in than trying to get everyone on the couch and ready for bed. Like, that's just going to stress you out more.
Right.
I think it's better to like just do something that just kind of like shakes things up a little bit. And I don't know.
No,
just try to do something really fun.
That's a good idea. That's a good tip too for someone who might be in the same boat, like trying to compartmentalize a little bit.
Two things that come to mind for me. One is the exact same thing that Ethan said. The other one, which I'll touch on, the other one is like tonight, I was frustrated about a situation, and Fletcher was just really excited to like show me something, and I was just kind of short and not excited back, and it wasn't a big deal. He didn't even pick up on it, but it was just a scenario where I could have turned off, you know, what I was frustrated about with work, and really just helped, made him feel loved. It doesn't matter what's going on in my head. Like we talked about earlier, you only have so many chances to like to get that part of it right, no matter what else is going on. And I feel like I struggle with that sometimes because I'm dramatic. And like when I get something that frustrates me, like everyone needs to know that it's frustrating me. So it's like, and it's a short lived because I get over stuff really, really quickly, but it never has. But I feel like if I let that play out, it could be something that could, you know, be damaging or hurtful to Fletcher. So, or Hank, but Hank's still so little. He just,
I know. It's like, I feel like I'm getting more nervous the older Murphy gets. Like, okay, we're getting into that stage where he's going to remember. Like, theirs isn't like, you know what I mean? Like, right. You know, it's scary. Like, whereas like Sunny, she ain't going to remember that we watched Miss Rachel for 2 hours today.
You watched her how long?
No, we really didn't. I'm just kidding. We ran errands. We did a lot today, okay? But the point is, like, the older they get, they are more observant, and they are going to remember. And these are things they are going to hold on to. Whereas, like, you know, even Moses isn't going to remember much from this age. He's not even three. But just, like, yeah, I think that's good, Judd. And recognizing that even.
For sure. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to mess up and to be short. I mean, you don't want to be, but you know, you're not going to be a perfect parent right out of the gate.
No one's ever going to be perfect.
And the other thing too, like Ethan was saying, was just like me and Ethan both have jobs where we rely on contact, like getting up with new clients and sealing the sale of, for me, a guide trip, for you, you know, website work or branding work and stuff like that. So it's like, technically, like, work doesn't ever have to end. Like, we could do stuff all the time. So I think it's so important, and Hannah's really helped me see this, and I, we've decided to kind of like pick a time each day where, you know, at this point we put our phones up and we don't have our phones out, because I can immediately find myself back into like looking at emails or trying to make an Instagram post or trying to do a blog post or trying to edit a podcast. And so there's, I think, so important to set time aside. What was it that you said about the
connection?
There was someone else that gave that advice in a different way a little bit that you were sharing.
Yeah, I think that he was just saying that our phones, and I kind of touched on this in our last episode, but like our phones are such a huge barrier between us and our kids, and our kids are like innately searching for connection with us. Mm-hmm. So we, and that's going to be a huge deterrent, is that the word, of the connection. And he's like, it's so important to, you know, put your phone away and connect and do, just be completely present.
I think too, it's like we could be sealing the best deal of our life on our phone. Like, you know, I'm never going to have to work again, but so exciting for me, seems so important. But to Fletcher and Hank, it's just like, oh, dad's looking at his phone. Uh-huh. And I think that time that we're around them, all they know is that the phone distracts my dad from me. Uh-huh. And so I think that it's just such an important thing to like really, and I feel like we can be so much better at it, but just at any time hanging out with your kids to try to put your phone up. And this is not me preaching because I've succeeded here. It's me, you know.
Preaching to the choir.
Preaching
is
to
that
the
choir. Yeah.
I am the choir and I'm preaching to me.
I know what you mean.
Phones suck though. They really are like, they're such a great tool for so many things, but I mean, really the downfall of society almost. Whole nother podcast.
Totally. I think those are, yeah, for sure tricky things. And I've said this on an episode before, but like it gets me so, and I'm not working. But when Murphy's like, who's that? I'm like watching a video of like literally someone I don't even know. And I'm like, I don't know. And I don't even know why I'm looking at this, you know, but then right. It catches you off guard and you're like, this is so embarrassing. I could be watching him or doing something with him. And I'm literally looking at a, you know, mom influencer, like what? And her kids, like, it's pretty sad.
It's okay, Zan.
Thanks.
You're watching all the reels I send you.
Yeah, exactly.
You've been on point lately with some of those reels.
That's a huge reason why I did. I mean, yes. That is the reason why. Not that Fletcher was asking, but when he was 6 months old, I deleted social media because I was like, when I'm at work all day long, I'm thinking about my baby and how I can't wait to be with him, and I'm talking to my clients about him. And then I got home and I was like, catch myself like shaking a toy in Fletchy's face and then scrolling, looking at other people's kids and their babies. And I'm like, what am I doing?
So
this is
weird.
Sick.
Yeah, it
and
is.
And I deleted it thinking yeah, at I least was I'm looking delete at fish. It for like a week. Thinking I was going to delete it for a week. And then I was just like, oh my gosh, my mind is so much more clear. I think it took like 10 days and then I'll just never forget that feeling of like.
She was a new woman.
Yeah.
For real.
It changed weird, my life. It really has changed my life being off of social media.
So much clarity, I feel like, too. You're just not like.
Your mind is clear. You're not. I remember us being at Fermental. Like, I'll never forget. Fletcher was 6 months old. And you were like, did you know so-and-so's in Cancun on a girls trip?
Hannah.
And I was like, no, I didn't, because I deleted Instagram 10 days ago. And I haven't even thought about that person or thought about. And I was like, and I was having. And, you know, like, that can make you feel FOMO or like. Uh-huh. My
Hannah,
life stinks.
You don't have to bash us all so much.
Having fun. We were having fun. But I just want to say that because maybe there's someone out there who wants to delete it, and you should.
I think about it. Ethan and I both think about it every day, and then we don't. I don't know
Ethan
why.
Ethan, he deleted it. I deleted it before we even started this episode.
Oh, shut up.
Go follow me at.
We should delete it. I just don't know what I'll do when I need to use
the bathroom. When you're using the bathroom.
Maybe you would be quicker. Okay, I support
you
this.
You would, trust me.
All right, Jeff, let's talk about this.
Okay. All right, so I feel like we've answered a lot of these just kind of indirectly. One thing that we haven't really talked about, and we can or we don't have to, but actually, before I do that, what about things that someone asked this last time I posted the question of like when your wife, when one of us is newly postpartum, meaning we just had the baby, we're just getting home from the hospital. Like, what were some things, and maybe you don't have an answer for this, and that's okay, or if you can't think about it, but like, Judd, you're about to be in that position again. What were some things that maybe, Surprise. What were some things that maybe the first time around you didn't do so well as far as like understanding, and then when Hank came around or when Moses came around or when Sonny came around, you were like, oh, I remember this and I'm going to do this better. Like, what would be some advice for a new dad maybe whose wife is newly postpartum and they're struggling with like how to help her or how to be supportive or how to be understanding? And if you don't have an answer, I'm sure Hannah and I can come up with some stuff.
Yeah, I do have something.
I nailed it. I mean,
I was completely supportive and understanding the entire time.
No, I'm sure if I had some time to mull over it, I could come up with a few good answers for you.
I have something though that I think Hannah would does. Be helpful. When Fletcher, before Fletcher was born, I told Judson, like, supposedly, like, all these hormones, you know, I've said it probably on this podcast before, takes 40 weeks for them to all build up, and then they all come crashing down the first 6 to 8 weeks. So I might be seeming kind of crazy, and I might be crying. I don't know. And Judson, before I had Fletcher, would freak out if I started crying. And I was
in
like,
a good way.
Because yeah, she wasn't much of a crier then, either.
Right. And then when Fletcher was born and I came home, I cried every day, and I didn't know why I was crying.
Oh, I thought
and
we were going to get divorced.
No, you didn't.
I'm just kidding.
Judson didn't.
No, you didn't.
Panic. It's like you were prepared for it and you didn't panic when I was crying and you were just like, hey, it's okay. Like, what's going on? You know, like, not like
you did help me know that
what?
That was coming,
right?
Yes.
Which was awesome.
And I think it's very important to prepare your husband for that. I know that's not like something we learned the second time around. We really did just somehow figure that out before he was born and it really paid off. Judson never made me feel like I was being crazy or emotional or like he wasn't nervous that
scared.
I was crying.
Yeah.
He was just like, it's fine, just cry, you know, whatever.
It's yeah. And it's not even like right when you come home, because there's, especially with your first baby, because it's like everyone's over there all the time helping out. But it's like weeks later when you're still, you know,
not sleeping.
Recovering, not yeah. sleeping well. And even like, I remember before we had the baby, I was like, I'm so excited to like, just be up in the middle of the night with you while you feed the baby. And I don't know if that ever happened.
Yeah, it did with Fletcher. Not
it
with
did
Hank,
with Fletcher.
But with Fletcher, you did and, every single time, which is crazy.
But it's a special time, like, to be able to hang out with your wife at that time because I can't feed the baby. And so just figuring out new ways to be there for your spouse, like, and just to be present in times like that, so.
And, like, changing diapers. And I feel like a lot of dads really, for some reason, take swaddling seriously.
I remember.
Yeah.
I about punched you when you held Murphy's diaper in my face that one time before we had a kid.
I still do that to Josh.
Everyone.
Josh has a panic attack every time I change a diaper.
That is so funny.
No, that's good, Hannah. And I was thinking the other thing that you told me or someone told you, I think, was, like, when the dad – does want to help with something or if you say, you know, will you go change the baby's diaper, then don't go and not like that. I wanted you to put this pajamas on them, or you didn't put
this
powder.
Is the best advice.
Or this is how to do it, because the more you correct someone's
I want to butt in real quick.
Go.
Okay. The way she said it, the way the person said it was like, listen, when your husband, because she was divorced, she was like, you're about to have this baby and your husband, he's going to want to, you know, when he's holding the baby, pretty much in any situation with this baby, if you don't feel like the baby's life is in danger, do not say anything. Your husband's not going to hold the baby you want the way you want to hold him. He's not going to change the diaper the exact way you want. And that's what she was saying. Like, if his life's not in danger, your baby, don't say anything. Just let him be the parent too. And it hit me like I was like, oh my God, this is exactly what she was talking about. Like the literally probably first day in the hospital when Judson, no, I'm just kidding, I was not making a joke, but.
Do it. This is rare.
It's huge to not, because she said she did that and.
And now she's divorced.
She's
literally.
Divorced. She kept correcting him that finally he was like, okay. He just kind of put his hands up and was like, obviously I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm not going to help.
And you do. So go for it. Like, you know, I don't think he said those words, but those were his thoughts.
He felt.
And he backed off, and then, you know, and so it's just really important for your husband to feel just as much of a parent as you are, especially
and to feel like
first baby.
I mean, you were so good about that, but if you had been like that, I would have felt like, you know, you don't trust me with this kid. Like it would have caused strife in our relationship. Of I think that would easily be a struggle as a man, and like your wife immediately like questioning your ability to take care of your kid.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think I was not very good at that with Ethan. He can say one way or the other, but I think I was.
I didn't think that at all. Okay, actually. Good.
I'm a pretty control. I feel like I'm pretty controlling in certain situations, all situations. But I think I've gotten better the more kids we have because I do know that obviously Ethan is fully capable of taking care of any and all of them at any given point. But also, you can't help but need help. Mm-hmm. Like when it's your first baby, I feel like you're like, you can kind of do it all if you need to, and you kind of want to do it all, and you're the one nursing, and you kind of have to do it. But once you have more than one kid, you have to lean on someone. And so I think that kind of changes naturally. It has to. I don't know. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I feel like I learned, I mean, obviously learned so much just from when Murphy was born. Like, I didn't know much about, you know, babies at all, but like, y'all grew up around a lot of babies, and I actually just thought of this. This is just out of nowhere. I just thought about how, like Ren was a baby, like, uh-huh. when we first started dating. So I feel like, in a way, that kind of prepped me a little bit for Murph.
I think it definitely did.
And, like,
everyone knows who Ren is, right?
Oh, yeah. Sister. All of our listeners do.
So... But I feel like that was a blessing because it kind of helped prepare me for, like, I mean, we had Murph, like, you know, found out you were pregnant right after we got married. It was just a surprise. So it just prepped me pretty quick. And so if, I don't know, I'm probably going to, like, butcher this, but I'm trying to think, like, I had a little bit of confidence, but if I wouldn't have had the confidence – and, like, knowing a little bit about, like, how to change a diaper or anything with babies, then I probably would have felt, like, a little helpless. But since I knew a little bit, it was enough to kind of, like, okay, I'll figure this out.
Right. Everybody has to figure it out. Even people who have a lot of experience, when it's your baby, it's totally different. And everyone's in that same boat. And so just remembering that, too, I think, when you get home, like, it's new. We're all in this together, and this is new for everybody, and we all just need to be a team.
Yeah, and I think, like, for any, I don't know how many men are listening, but
listen to this one.
I think any new dads or, you know, second time dads, it's not the time to chill out if you got a second baby coming. I think it's always the time to serve and just be helpful. That's if there's one thing I've learned. I think when you're right after having a baby, I think all you got to do is just be present and just helpful. Mm-hmm. I think if you're not being helpful, then you have to be, or everyone's going to get frustrated pretty quick.
Right. Yeah, that's good. Do you have something, Jed?
Well, I think, Ethan, you're so good at that, just always being so helpful with Zan and with all the kids. And
I was going to say, you're good at that.
We're both pretty good at it. I'm just kidding. But kind of like what you were saying, I think one thing that helps me and Hannah so much is just, like, good communication about it. Like, as a husband, like, talk about your parenting and your decisions. Don't just and be open to, like tonight, multiple times before we had the kids to bed, me and Hannah were like, was that the right decision? Are we handling this correctly? Like, yeah. But just openly talking about it and being willing to admit you made a mistake as a dad or as a husband. And it's like, there's so the two books that I feel like we always talk about as a group is, like, the Andy Stanley book and then the Francis Chan book, In the Light of, what is it called?
You and Me Forever.
In the Light of Eternity. But just thinking about everything in the light of eternity. So, like, if the world goes on forever, is this situation really as big of a deal as I'm making it right now? And I feel like as a dad and as, like, being a dad and also the mindset of, like, I feel like that dad who's like, my way goes and this is how it is, and, like, that's never really healthy for little kids and whatnot and for a healthy marriage. I mean, I feel like being a team and making decisions together and working through stuff together, I feel like is just going to create a healthier relationship with your kids and a healthier relationship with your spouse. I've never said spouse before in my life, but I've said it more than once. I think it's say, like, boo or wife or... Is it spouse or spouse?
Spouse.
Spouse.
Okay. That was good. All good answers. Good thoughts.
Yeah, I have one actually. One thing I was thinking of when we were talking about that I just want to say is for the moms out there, I think when Zan was talking about being controlling, is that as moms, we have that tendency to be controlling. And I've heard before, again, not my advice, but just something I've heard before is like, your child needs their dad too, just as much as they need their mom. So when the dad is, you know, for example, wrestling on the couch every night, like sometimes I'm like cringing because I'm like, this is like someone's about to break their neck. And I feel like sometimes I do say like, okay, take it down.
No, every night.
No, but I also feel like.
The triple twist body slam you're not a fan of.
Not the kids. Judd's going to break his neck.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm like, they need this too. They need their dad to be playing rough with them. And
it's like their favorite part of the night.
And like,
your dinner's good.
You're just as much as a parent. You're just as much of the dad is just as much of a parent as you are as the mom.
Right.
And another example of that would be that a lot of people have asked me, like, because I just feel like people can be controlling of their husbands and be like, no, you cannot do that with the kids. And I'm like, they're his kids too.
I feel like that was good. Do y'all have anything you want to add or?
I'm just having a good time. I just want to.
It's fun.
Should we have a part two? Just keep going.
Well, I don't know if we're going to be invited back.
We're paying Maddie right now. We got to wrap it up. Just kidding. All right. Well, I think this has been good. Does anybody have anything they want to add before we close up?
Not at all.
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Well, Judd and Ethan, thank y'all for being here. We've been wanting to have y'all on for a while. Like the first time Hannah and I started planning a podcast, one of my episodes was like listed y'all as being on there. That was for the first season and we never did it. So now we've done it and it was fun. So thanks for being great dads, great husbands, and great partners.
Thanks for being great wives.
Yeah, compliment us a little and then I'll cut it.
Thanks for having us on. And remember,
keep going.
It's be a good husband before you're a good dad.
Oh, okay.
Final take that out.
All right, cut. Y'all. The listeners, we will. Oh, my gosh. Okay, Hannah and Judd's chicks are going crazy if you can hear them, so we really are going to cut it
the
now.
Baby's
we will
coming.
Talk to you next week.